Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey, how's it going? Otaku Mike here, back again with another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. If you're new to the podcast/YouTube channel, go ahead and if you enjoy the show, rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps us in the rankings as we go on our podcast journey. And stick around. We're going to talk about some kick-ass anime. With me always is Jen Graves, my co-host.
Sup, guys?
Man, I fucked up that intro really good. Just saying.
You did, but you know what that means, though, right?
What?
Nowhere but up from here.
Oh, yeah. And today we're talking about an anime that I picked. Because Jen picked the last anime, I think. Which was it? Was it Darwin's Game? Right?
I don't know.
I want to say it was Darwin.
I don't know.
It shows you how much anime we actually cover on this podcast.
It's because we cover so many other good things. Well, I mean, to be fair, we could cover something and then it come out like 6 months later, okay? So
True.
Jesus.
But today I got to pick the anime, and I picked a movie called Mazinger Z Infinite. This is one of the projects that celebrates the 50th anniversary of Go Nagai, who is a mangaka, and this is one of the things he helped create, which was Mazinger Z, which came out in the 70s, and it was officially the first that we know of, I think the first actually piloted robot where you sat in this robot. And I think it is one of the first super robots out there. This movie takes place 10 years after the events of Mazinger Z and Great Mazinger, and we kind of pick up in the great state of Texas, of all places.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice that?
I didn't notice that.
In the world of Mazinger Z, Otaku Mike is dead. Because
this is probably true. This is probably true.
Because we start off with this power plant. And the power plant is being overrun by, I forget what they're called, the kaiju beasts. What were they called again? I can't remember what they were called. Do you remember?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, I just, because at one point I thought they were kaiju, and then the next thing I knew they were all robots, and I was like,
how in the hell? They call them like a specific name. They're like robot monsters. I forgot what they're called.
Let me ask you this real quick. Uh-huh. So, what was the purple doctor guy's name?
Dr. Hell.
Okay. Wow. I forgot his name was Hell.
It's Dr. Hell.
And so the whole time when I was watching this, I had somebody that was kind of looking over my shoulder ask me what was going on. And I was like, yeah. Well, Dr. Bad Guy.
Dr. Bad Guy.
Dr. Bad Guy. And they just looked at me and goes, that really is name I said. For all intents and purposes, it is. Because I couldn't remember what his name was. And then I was trying to remember the other two bad guys, which one of them's got two names because it's half a person.
Yeah.
And then the guy that's floating.
This is probably going to be a bad review because I don't remember their names either. Because I am not the four expert on Mazinger.
Hey, can we at least get half of it? Do you remember what the do you remember what the floating head guy was?
No. Is his name Dr. Okay. Head?
I don't know. Dr.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Well, so this is the other problem I had with all the bad guys in this.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers brought it up when I was watching it. And they were like, so who's that? And same thing. Like, I don't know any of the names. So I was like, well, you have this one person that is like half a body of a female. And like, literally, they're in half, you know. And then you have this older guy that's the other half of the body. They work together. And they talk simultaneously of each other. And then you had the head, the guy that was the floating head that had a body with him. I was like, that's fucking pointless to have the body. And so they were like, oh, okay.
I want to say his name was Count Borkin. I think that was the floating head guy's name.
I don't ask me. But anyway, so we talked about.
So the two. Okay, so I looked it up. So the two halved person is Ashura, is their name.
Okay, so they just have one name.
It's like Ashura something, but on Wikipedia, it just says Ashura.
Okay. I thought one side had a name and the other one had a name, but you said it together.
Yeah, but in Wikipedia, it just says one. Yeah. Ashura is the name.
Yeah. Well, so I was a bad person at this point though, because I was like, well, you have this person that's half of a person and half of a person.
Well,
and then you had the floating head guy, which is a head and a body. I said, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say the Dr. Hell or Dr. Bad Guy doesn't have a penis. And they looked at me and go, why would you say that? I go, because everybody else is missing something. I mean, why? What's he going to have, you know? And he always carried around the big stick. So they were like, what do you mean? I said, it probably just got cut off. That's why everybody else is half, because, you know, they're trying to have an innuendo of something.
Yeah, so I've seen like bits and pieces of Mazinger and Great Mazinger. I've seen more of Mazinger Kaiser than these two.
Yeah,
so I know very little about these series, but this is a sequel series to those. But this movie, it negates Mazinger Kaiser and Grandizer. Which Grandizer was a sequel to Mazinger, but for contract reasons, it's no longer part of the Mazinger world. It's like an alternate universe now.
Yeah.
Which kind of plays into this well, movie funny. A little bit.
That's funny. But
let's get into talking about the plot of this movie.
So, you know, the other weird thing is this is actually the first media that I've seen Mazinger wise that didn't incorporate him into something else.
Yeah,
because you know there's the Cyborg 009 kind of movie that he was kind of a part of. There was one of the other
Cyborg 009 movie.
I think he's in one of them. Like,
are you not thinking of the Devilman comic?
Well, there's that too.
Oh,
so I mean, it's really weird how they like pick and choose who's. Like, they're all connected at some point, but,
yeah,
you know, it's just kind of weird.
It's true. But we are in Texas, where the Kaiju Beast robots, the Kai Beasts, whatever they're called, are attacking this power plant, which powers the entire United States and I think Canada as well.
Hey, buddy.
And
I thought you said you were dead. I thought you said you were dead. How are you talking?
I mean, I'm going to be dead because they do blow up. The Kaiju monsters blow up this power plant successfully, might I add, because which this is one part that I had a problem with in the movie, because you have Great Mazinger in the movie, which the whole opening sequence is a whole huge action scene where he's fighting tons and tons of these like robot monsters. Which is really fucking cool. Like, seeing all the attacks that Great Mazinger does, him wiping the floor with, you know, all these super sick special moves. And, you know, which is piloted by a guy named Tetsuo. And Tetsuo is pretty, he's a pretty cool character. But Tetsuo is not in this movie a lot.
He is. What's the other guy's name that's in the other
Koji.
Movie?
Koji.
So I had to ask you this. This is like top on my list that I had to ask you. How come like every like leading role character in old stuff like this has the same hairstyle?
Oh, you mean this? Yeah, they had this. They have those crazy wicked sideburns.
Yeah, well, and then they got the big like swoosh.
Yeah, the swoosh.
Because you know, like the cyborg in 009, actual 009 himself has the same hairstyle. This guy had the same hairstyle.
Yeah.
Who else? There's like other characters that have like the same thing, and I don't know what the name of the hairstyle is called, so I just call it the swoosh. But yeah, they all have the same hairstyle.
It was big in the 70s. We're just gonna say that, you know. So like. Like, Tetsuo has been, like, active for the past, like, 10 years or so. You know, I guess fighting bad guys and stuff. And he gets taken out. And then it sucks, okay? This is one gripe that I have, is the fact that Great Mazinger is supposed to be stronger than Mazinger Z. And Great Mazinger just gets punked out.
Right.
And I'm just like, why you gotta do my boy Great Mazinger like that?
He was punked out until the very end.
Until the very end. Like, we don't see him till like the very end of the movie.
Save the best for last, I guess.
And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? But I do like the fact that when we go to Japan, we see like the, I don't remember what they were called, but they're like the mass produced Mazinger units.
Yeah.
Which are like the GMs of the Mazinger universe, I guess. Which I've never seen those before. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
But we end up going to Mount Fuji, which is where they mine the metal for Mazinger Z in a Great Mazinger. It's like some special metal. And they end up...
Photon metal.
I don't remember what it's called, honestly. But they're getting like this like photon reaction in the mountain itself, and they come across a Mazinger, which this Mazinger is fucking huge. How did it get there? Nobody knows how it got there.
Wait, I got you. How did it happen? Yo ho ho, he took a bite of gum gum.
So they bring in the one expert, Koji, and Koji is the original pilot of Mazinger Z, and now he is a scientist, and he comes in, and he touches the Mazinger, and what comes out? A naked girl with purple hair. Are we in the 90s?
Where she doesn't have purple hair.
It's no, like a purple hair.
No. I was thinking when she first comes out and the light's hitting her. So that threw me off because she had blonde hair.
Yeah.
When she comes out and then the light turns off and it's purple and you're like, what in the fuck?
So we meet Lisa. And Lisa, I'm still confused about what exactly Lisa is. She's like a human, but...
She's an android, but most of her parts are made up of human-esque DNA. Or biological DNA.
We'll get the Lisa. Lisa's interesting. I like... Okay. So when Lisa Master. Shows up, they're... Master, which is... That gets fucking weird later on when we find out what Lisa is. Just saying. Right. But Lisa gets there, and they do these tests on her, and... The bad guys come in. They look like Nazis. And everybody is reunited. And Lisa basically takes out these bad guys, which is a cool scene. I like this scene of Lisa fighting all the bad guys. I think it's cool, you know.
Yeah.
But they leave, you know, they go away, you know, and the big kaiju monsters attack the city. And then. They succeed at destroying Mazinger and blowing a lot of stuff up. Like, they're successful at this. And they don't they even turn on the Mazinger Infinite as well at this point?
With Lisa?
Correct. No, yeah, no, with not with Lisa, but
no, they had stuff plugged in to get info off. And uh-huh. Lisa was the one that was helping them do it to like advance 100 years in the future on Mazinger technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they hadn't actually turned it on yet, because I think Dr. Hell was the first person to actually activate it, where it that's when it came out of the Mount Fuji or whatever.
Yeah. And they end up activating it with Great Mazinger. So we find out Tetsuo is still alive. So that's a plus. You know?
Maybe.
Who knows?
We don't know if he's really alive.
I do like the thing that they do. They mentioned that Tetsuo has kind of moved on and, you know, he wants to start a family. His wife is pregnant.
You're right. And she used to be a pilot, too.
Yeah, she used to be a pilot as well, which is cool, you know.
Oh, wait. Can we pause real quick and go take a step back?
Okay, go ahead.
Can we talk about the fangirl committee for Mazinger?
But that hasn't shown up yet, has it? It shows up after that, because they end up going.
Maybe it's about to.
Yes,
maybe it's about to.
They end up after Mazinger gets destroyed. I think. No. This when they go into attack the first time. Yes, we can go ahead and talk about the fangirl committee, because this is kind of all over the place. But yeah, go ahead.
The fangirl committee. That was it. I don't. I just wanted to know your opinion because it was so random.
I liked it. I like the fangirls, or the Mazin girls as they're called.
Yeah.
Where they're in their own they're not in Mazingers. They're in like Venus or Aphrodite or whatever that model is called.
We're gonna call them Femzingers.
Femzingers, where they're all like these very busty women who are hot, and they pilot giant robots who also have boobies, and they take their boobies off and shoot missiles out of their boobies. Yeah.
Hearing you say it is a lot worse than watching it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I had to bring that part up because it was just like, what the fuck? What
cause
the actual fuck?
Because when the bad guys show up, they're all in those military units. And they're trying to fight, but they can't. And that's when the Mazin girls show up still, and Koji gets into the fight with his you know, stripped down Mazinger, and Mazinger ends up getting blown up, and they barely survive the whole scenario at this point. And they've kind of gone undercover or underground with him and Lisa. And they go to a ramen shop, which I think the ramen shop was supposed to be a reference to something. I think Boss is a character in one of the Mazinger shows. I didn't know exactly who he was.
Boss is usually a main character. Him and the other two guys.
Were they bad guys? Were supposed to be bad guys?
I don't know if they started out as bad guys, but they've become like the pit crew for, I think, the Great Mazinger.
Okay. Because I wasn't really for sure. But he had his own robot, which I thought was funny. Because let's say, like, the way the film portrays destruction is really cool. Like, everything's blown up and, you know, parts of the city are destroyed. And we have this little ramen shop and just eating, people are eating ramen in it. And Koji's like, hey, boss, how are you able to power your electricity? He's like, oh, I got a robot downstairs.
Right. I pulled the engine out of my boss robot.
My boss robot. And yeah. He's like, oh, okay.
I just have to say, boss is like the most generous motherfucker of everybody. I'm just going to say that.
Most definitely.
When you talk to him and he was like, here's the extra slice of beef. I was like, where's this ramen shop at? Can I go?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, you need to fatten up a little more. Here's an extra egg. And I was like, why can't you be a real human being?
So what happens next after they leave the ramen shop?
Then they find out that boss is actually a person that has, like, I don't want to say ties to the underground, even though that's kind of what it seems like. He's got ties to, like, the hidden, like, doctors and stuff that know how to create the Mazinger 3D print them. And,
I thought that was fucking funny. Like, that they just 3D print a Mazinger. Or like a Mazinger functioning robot.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, how long did that take them to do? Because they have a robot that 3D prints another robot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny too. I really enjoyed that as well. Because it was just like, hey, you know, we have this thing to accomplish, which I have to say, I really love the whole scene where he's like, hey, don't y'all drop those boxes. This is material that we need. And they're loading them into the back of the truck. And then you just see him speed off. You see him speed off in the underground, like, sewer to, like, the main facility or whatever for them to actually print the Mazinger model and a new boss bot. And, I wonder if they printed some of the other ones, because it really seemed like there weren't that many robots left.
I think a lot of them got destroyed in the initial attack.
Okay.
It seemed like, because they make a mention at one point, how'd they get another Mazinger, because the Mazinger was destroyed. And Sayaka said, oh, that's actual Mazinger over there, that was just a display. It wasn't the actual Mazinger. But in reality, it was the Mazinger.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the funny part about that. Because then it was like, I felt like they did that, and they planned to do the 3D printer thing to make it sound like it was easy, but they didn't really, like, the person that wrote it, to really know where they were going to go from there, so they had to use stuff like that. Because if you found out how easy it was to print a Mazinger, like, everybody could print a Mazinger, you know?
True. Yeah, that's true. But, and after that, you know, but there was a scene, though, where they do drive out with all the boxes, and all the boxes do fly up in the air.
Yeah.
Because remember, he said, don't drop them, and he goes and catches all the boxes with his truck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
I thought that was funny. Boss is definitely a highlight in this movie. Even though I didn't really know him, I liked him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I agree. I think Boss was just, he made the whole thing, like, really comforting, I think, as you were watching it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then we move on to, they're building the Mazinger, and I believe we have, like, a little heart-to-heart with Sayaka and Koji, which... Did they fuck? Like, did they fuck at this point?
Who?
Sayaka and Koji. When they're talking in the bar. Do you remember that part? They have, like, this interesting heart-to-heart talk, because originally Sayaka was actually going to break up with Koji because their relationship wasn't moving forward at all.
I don't.
You don't remember that part? You don't remember?
I don't.
I want to say they fucked, but I don't. It was like alluded to because I just felt like it was, you know. But their relationship kind of moves forward a little bit, as much as a robot pilot's relationship can move forward. But apparently, after the battle, he wants to finally commit and make an honest woman out of Sayaka. After all this time, I don't know why, because our boy Tetsuya over there got married and had a kid, or is having a kid, before Koji. You know?
Right.
I mean, it makes sense, though, you know, like, how they have everything, like, lined up.
Yeah.
Because we kind of got it from the beginning, you know, maybe they just alluded to it, like, hey, you know, he's not really around as much as he should be for the relationship to really move forward, you know?
Yeah. And you think, like, Koji would be the one to still be piloting robots and not Tetsuya. Because Tetsuya is, like, is having a family.
Right.
And Koji's the one who took a step back. But people are so happy that Koji is finally coming back into the fight. Apparently nobody else can save the world but fucking Koji.
Right. Well, and then, you know, the weird thing is the whole argument that the girl, I can't remember her name.
Sayaka?
Yeah, got into with her dad.
Yeah.
About oh, well, you know, you can't force him to get back into the pilot seat because he's been a scientist, you know.
He's done so much already, you know.
Yeah. So for him to actually get back in the pilot seat made it a little different, mm-hmm. I guess.
I have to I agree with that. Because, you know, they didn't know if he was going to be rusty or not, you know, piloting a robot.
Right.
But there's one scene.
Even when we had the whole thing where they were like, hey, we want you on the front lines or whatever, you know, we get a little thing where they actually point it out and they talk about it and they're like, but is he really on the front lines? You know?
Yeah.
Like, and they bring it up. They say, no, he's not there. He's kind of in the back. you know, out of harm's way, and he's just there for, like, moral support.
Yeah.
So.
But there was this one scene that I actually really liked, was the scene with June getting into the robot once she found out Tetsuya was still alive.
Yeah.
And her,
where they had to pull her out.
They had to pull her out of the robot because she wanted to go, like, save Tetsuo. And I just thought that was a very powerful scene.
Oh yeah, it was. Especially her being pregnant.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you were like, oh, she's willing to do this, you know, mm-hmm. to go out of her way to actually go get him and everything, you know, and then mm-hmm. it was kind of weird too. Like, I would say with that as well, because it was kind of like, oh, you know, we're going to have to charge you for like a felony crime, you know? And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? I was like, she's in jail? And then Sayaka comes and she like kind of comforts her a little bit because, I mean, June was a warrior, just like you said earlier, you know? And she gave all that up before Tetsuya and to have a family and stuff like that, you know, and that's what she wanted, you know, and that's what Tetsuya wanted as well, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's just the thing that I feel like that all of us had to mm-hmm. view as it goes forward, is kind of knowing a little bit of the backstory of what's there, you know, because it mm-hmm. almost seemed like with Tetsuya that he was doing it just so June wouldn't want to try and do it, you know, some kind of form of income and still kind of keeping up the warrior might for mm-hmm. June to kind of live through as well.
Yeah, no, most definitely. But we get the Mazinger back. Mazinger Z comes back with two seats now in the pilot area with Lisa and
Which I question
I question that. Like, has there not always been two seats in it?
No, it's been once. It's always been one seat, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that was one thing that threw me off.
With their 3D printed robot, they take on the mechanical beasts, all of them. Can I just say, the designs of the bad guys are one of the most interesting things in this movie?
Yeah.
Because they had some crazy fucking designs. There was one that goes past, and it's Santa Claus in his sleigh, and he's like a robot.
I saw that.
You did? Okay.
I saw that.
I was waiting for him to, like, do something, but you only see him in, like, one scene, I think. But yeah. there are so many of them on scene anyways, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that made me want to think about, too, like, if they even had, like, names or if they were just, like, a giant army. Because it almost seemed like the ones that they picked out, there was a reason why they picked them out.
I think those might have been, like, previous villains in the show, like throughout the series.
Well, and that's something that I wondered.
Yeah, that's what I figured as much. They're probably like previous bad guys within the show, because they all had very distinct designs and there were a lot of them.
Yeah,
like there were a ton of these things.
They also like showcased like almost all of the Mazinger's attacks, you know.
Oh, yes. And for a show that ran for like 90-something episodes,
yeah,
it has a lot of fucking attacks. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah.
But this fight at the end was fucking cool. I like this fight a lot. Like, just seeing the Mazinger in action and having it, like, just take out all these bad guys and go up against the big giant Mazinger was like crazy. And then like, this is where the movie kind of lost me towards the end, which I thought was pretty cool, where like the Dr. Hell shows up and Dr. Hell uses like these dissolving bullets to dissolve the metal on Mazinger, which I thought was a cool looking effect.
Right.
And Great Mazinger, and then that other one that shows up. I think that was Tatsuya's brother, maybe?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
His younger brother.
Yeah. Shows up, and they all give Koji the power.
Everybody. So I have a problem with this scene right here.
This was very, very Spirit Bomb-ish.
Yes. Because it was like, and you get these little parts where like you've seen like a little girl and her mom like on and off. I don't know if they really like played a thing in this at all.
I think they were a reference. I think they were the mom, I think, was a character in the show.
Okay, but you have it where the daughter at one point is like, she runs over to like a light switch and turns it off. And she goes, well, we have to turn off the electricity because it saves power and it gives photon power and energy to the Mazinger to be better. And so you see everybody start turning off their light switches and shit, and like beams of light getting shot around the planet to go to the Mazinger to have this energy. And you're like, what is going on?
I actually thought that part with the little girl was cute. I thought it was adorable.
I felt like it was one of those like Earth Day things, you know, because we just had Earth Day like not that long ago. I felt like it was one of those Earth Day things where it was like, now remember, if you're not in the room,
do you remember? Turn the light off. You might have been too young, but do you remember, like, I think it was called, like, Hands Across the World, where everybody would, like, link hands and, like, hold hands, and they tried to, like, see if they could, like, go around the world with it or whatever?
Never happened.
No. And that's what kind of reminded me of, but also kind of reminded me of the whole Spirit Bomb thing. But with Mazinger,
really,
I mean,
it really reminded me of the Spirit Bomb.
But like with Mazinger, like Mazinger is like a cheesy fucking show anyways.
That's true. Well, you know? And then the other thing was there where they were like, the Earth doesn't have enough power to give you. And then I was like, if he starts calling on people through the rest of the fucking universe, I'm just done with the show. Well, then they like one upped me and it was like, no, we're going to go into a parallel dimension and pull from all of those planets too. And I was like,
which is funny because in the beginning he references or like theorizes that they're going to have like, she could be from a parallel universe. Right. And people kind of like scoffed at him, like, parallel universe, what the fuck are you talking about? That doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
And it turns out Lisa is from a parallel universe.
It's true.
You know?
And well, I don't know if this Lisa is from a parallel universe, the one that we knew.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all the little cubes that were floating around were all different universes.
Yeah, they were like potential universes, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where we get like the applicable, we're in the dimensional void. And we find out, or Koji finds out, that Lisa is his daughter from a parallel universe, and that's why she wanted Koji and Sayaka to get together and fix their relationship.
Right, right. Well, and like you said, it was potential, so yeah. I really think that that was the future that he saw of that potential.
Yeah, which begs the question, who sent Mazinger Infinite? Did a Koji from a different universe send Mazinger Infinite? Like who made Mazinger Infinite?
Oh, whoa. Oh, I mean, or you know? Mazinger Infinite's from the future.
Yeah.
I mean,
which we don't even get a thing to where how Dr. Hell came back.
Right.
Because Dr. Hell is supposed to be dead. And they never say how Dr. Hell comes back.
He just shows up.
Yeah,
from hell.
Oh, but I mean, Mazinger beats up Dr. Hell, wins, saves the day. I thought this was pretty cool. The fight was pretty cool. It was stupid, but I loved it.
It was so stupid, especially after he ingrains himself into Mazinger Infinite.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh.
Then they make another Mazinger out of pure photon energy, I think it was.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. I was just like, this is kind of like Geostorm with a super robot in it.
I can see that.
Right. I was like, so we technically don't even need Mazingers. We just need the ship. And you can use all the photon energy to actually create a Mazinger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did we need the 3D printer to begin with?
That is true. Why did we need the 3D printer to begin with? You know. But yeah. That happens. They save the world again for a third time, I believe, because, right. You know, if you count the other two series. And we get this nice scene where, I don't know if it's nice, but it's kind of stupid, where Koji is in the hospital with all of his friends, and Sayaka's there, you know, worried about him, obviously. And he's like,
oh my God.
This is like cringeworthy. This was so cringeworthy. He was like,
"Hey, buddy, I thought it was sweet."
Sayaka, I want to make a baby with you.
Yeah,
she's like, "What?" Like,
well, and then she was like, she slapped him and was like, "Not in front of everybody." And I was like, "Is this a yes or?" Was there not any arguing about this?
She didn't say no.
Yeah, She didn't say anything about that. Just don't say it in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, of course, you know, we skipped over the little fight with Boss and everybody, because that was
can we talk about that, because that one was pretty funny. I like that. Yeah. Where they get in the Boss robot and the other 3D printed robot, which has missiles on its back, by the way,
for no reason.
Yeah. And the 3D printed robot thing, I don't know whatever, I don't remember what it was called, starts printing giant like soccer balls, volleyballs, beach balls, and Boss is kicking them at the monsters, and they shoot out spikes. They can become spike balls.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're distracting the monsters and like kind of like being like a distraction, you know, which, yeah, I thought that was fun. I enjoyed that. That little comedic moment was really funny. I like that a lot.
Well, yeah. And then the head of the robot kept like coming off. I was like,
what? Yes. At one point, he kicks his head, I think.
No, it was a ball made to look like his head. I was like, what? Why would you make one like that? Like,
see, I thought he kicked his head because the audio synced up with it rolling and them talking, so I thought he kicked his head.
No, but it was weird.
But yeah, at the end, Koji and Sayaka end up getting married. Tetsuya and I forgot what her name was. June have their baby. As all this is going on, June is in labor, which that's gotta be a fucking scary experience to be in labor while a giant robot fight is happening right out your window.
Da-na-na, giant robots.
Yeah. But and then we get the scene where Lisa is a little girl and Lisa, Koji and Sayaka are together, you know? That future or becomes reality, which is pretty cool, you know?
Right.
It was a nice, I thought it was a nice ending for this movie. Well,
and I had to question why was her hair still purple?
Yeah, her hair is purple.
Because both of theirs are like dark brown.
Like his is black, and I think hers is like a brown color.
Yeah. So yeah. I had to question a lot of stuff with that one.
Anime logic, you know? It's just anime logic.
Aha, where your parents can come out and still have... You could still have a different color that doesn't even exist in the spectrum.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What would you rate this one?
Out of what rating scale? Because I have something that I want to talk about, kind of, actually, about the I kind of wanted to talk about the What did you think of the animation and the transition from robots to people in the animation? Because when it goes to the robots, it's 3D CG robots. What did you think of it?
To be honest, I didn't even notice.
You didn't notice? Okay.
I didn't notice. I was just like trying to get through it because I was like, at points I was like, this is really good. And then I was like, why are they talking so long?
There were points in this movie where I did feel like it dragged a little bit.
Yes.
Particularly in the middle, I did felt like it dragged a little bit too long. I liked the animation. I thought the animation was good. I thought everybody had a good updated character model. And I liked the updated models to Mazinger. They added more like rivets and like panel lining and stuff on the robots. I thought they looked cool. I actually liked the 3D CG animation for this.
Yeah.
I thought it worked well, and it was pretty well animated for the most part. I'm not a huge fan of 3D CG anime most of the time, but sometimes when they blend it together with 2D animation, I think it works pretty well. And for robots, I think it works fairly well for the most part.
Right.
You know, I did have audio issues sometimes. I don't know if it was my headset or the Blu-ray I was watching where it kind of stuttered. So I don't know if it was what it was, but the audio kind of stuttered a little bit.
Yeah.
At some points in my version I was watching. But I mean, out of five, if we're doing it five out of five.
Yeah.
I would give it like a 3.5.
Okay. That's probably what I would give it too.
Like, I had fun watching it, but there were points in this movie where I was kind of confused a little bit. And yeah. I watched this movie twice.
That's true. You did watch this movie twice.
I also have to say it's very much in line with other Mazinger works, because Mazinger is a batshit crazy series of stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always make sense, the logic. But sometimes you just have to go with the logic.
Right.
And just, you know. I didn't think it was bad, but there are faults with this. There are some pacing issues. And I feel like if you go in this completely blind, you probably will hate this movie. Because there were references in this movie where I was like, I feel like they're referencing something and I don't know what it is.
True.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. I mean, and I have to say that I would probably give it a 3.5 as well. Yeah. Just cause I mean, I just had different problems with it. I feel like, you know, I felt like how, we had Mazinger Z and everything, like it was a little weird for him to have fought all those robots and then to get to the last boss guy and then be like, oh, well, you can't defeat me. And, you know, even if you subtract the acid out of it, like there were some things where it just seemed like Boss Monkey was well over, you know, 9,000 compared to Mazinger Z, you know. Yeah. And I kind of get why they did that, but they should have had some other elements into it to kind of let like the power system a little different.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, he was going toe to toe with everything, you know, the two people, the floating head guy and the other one, the split in half people, like both of them mm-hmm. together, like he was able to defeat both of them. And I would say both of them were equally as strong as the Boss Monkey guy or Dr. Hell by himself, you know, mm-hmm. Working together, and he had no problem with them. So I don't.
Well, we could say Koji was a little bit rusty.
I mean, you could say that, but then you'd have to explain why he beat all 27 other robots before he got there and then defeated both of them. Sure. You know? So
sure.
I just think there was some stuff like that really threw it off for me where,
yeah,
you know, you had that, of course, like one of the only other problems I had was where they used the real scene over again from Boss kicking the balls at things and whatnot. And then they'd blow them up, but it was the same scene like over and over again. We saw it like 3 to 4 times. And I was like, okay, how many times is this going to happen?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. other than that though, I felt like it really fit with the regular Mazinger when it came out, like 70 mm-hmm. wise and or 70s mm-hmm. wise and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd probably give it a 3.5 as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not bad. And you know, you can go watch it on YouTube with ads, you know, so anybody can go watch this movie if they want to. You know, it's illegally available. I own it now, so, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was the completionist in me who needed another Mazinger thing, you know, for my collection.
Yeah.
Sad to say.
That's fine.
But, I mean, I only paid like $10 for it, so I didn't waste that much money, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe down the road I'll feel differently about this movie, you know. But I mean, it was just the movie was fine and fun, you know. It was okay.
That's true.
Could say it was mid tier.
That's true. If I would have to say, if I watched it not as a reviewer, then yeah, it probably would have been a little bit more fun to enjoy. But yeah, watching it as a reviewer and having to like give my honest opinion, like, really makes you have to crunch down on some things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, but if you're interested, I recommend checking it out. You know, it's not terrible.
I mean, right,
it's an hour.
It might be something you only want to watch once in your life. But
yeah, an hour and 35 minutes, you can't, you know, beat that. You know, I mean, it's a decent sized anime film. I was watching the Batman the other day, and I was like, God damn, I'm only an hour into this movie.
That's funny.
Whoa. Oh my god, this is a fucking long movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Funny.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, anyway, guys, thanks for listening to our show. And as always, we will catch y'all later. Preferably, we'll see you next Tuesday. But check us out on all other major podcast platforms and whatnot.
Yeah, and you can email us at otakuologypodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at otakuologypodcast. Talk with us, DM us, ask us questions. Make sure to rate and review our podcast to help us get up in the podcast rankings and algorithms. And it really helps other people find our podcast. Let us know what you think of the podcast. And yeah, thanks for listening.